Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For over 10 years, VOC Nation has taken listeners behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history. Our hosts are not only experts on the business, but have lived in the business. Subscribe and hear weekly podcasts from hosts like legendary pro wrestling journalist Bill Apter, former Impact Wrestling star Wes Briscoe, former WWE and AWA broadcaster Ken Resnick, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, former WCW star The Maestro, NWA legend The Raging Bull Manny Fernandez, and much more. VOC Nation programming is free on most major podcasting apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com. And video podcast and bonus content is available on Patreon for as low as $3 a month. What are you waiting for? Head to VOCNation.com and dig into the most comprehensive podcast network built for pro wrestling fans. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at VOC Nation Wrestling Network and follow us on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Thank you for joining another edition of Bumps and Thumps, the talk of wrestling. I'm Brian Ferguson. My guest today was in the pro wrestling business for 35 years. He is considered and remembered for being a tag team specialist, and his signature move was the spinning toe hold and, if I remember correctly, the flying elbow.
Is that I did use it.
All right. He has teamed with wrestling greats such as Mike George, his brother Ted Oates, and Ron Garvin, to name a few. Some of his tag team championships include the NWA World Tag Team Championship, the NWA Georgia Tag Team Championship, and the National Tag Team Championship. He's also held numerous singles titles, including the NWA North America title and the NWA Pacific Northwest title. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor and pleasure to introduce Mr. Jerry Oates. Jerry, thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be on Bumps and Thumps.
Well, it's an honor to be here.
All right, sir. Well, thank you again for coming on. And we talked a little bit before we came on, and I asked you a question about you had two partners in particular that were named Oates, Ted and Marty. And I asked you, are they your brothers? And your answer was, sir, go ahead.
Ted Oates is my real brother and Marty is not.
Marty is not. He was a fill-in.
Yes.
So tell us about how Marty kind of came onto the picture for you. Because I saw a match with you two, I believe it was in Texas. Or in Central States, I can't remember right now. But
yeah, I took him to St. Louis with me.
Okay.
Larry Manizak was promoting in St. Louis, and I had wrestled in St. Louis, you know, for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so did my brother, and they wanted my brother Ted and I to come to St. Louis. And he was unavailable at the time, and
okay.
So I told Larry Manizak, who passed away not too long ago, which I hate to hear, yeah. That I could bring a guy that I had trained, and his name was Marty Jannetty. So he said, yeah, that's fine. So I took him out there as my kid brother, Marty Oates. And that's how that went.
We're going to talk about Marty Jannetty a little bit later, but I didn't know. I didn't really pay attention to the YouTube
yes.
video to see if that was Marty Jannetty. That is interesting.
That's Marty Jannetty.
Well, that's very interesting. All right. All right, well, let's talk about growing up. You're from Georgia,
Columbus, Georgia
area. Can we talk a little bit about your childhood, how you were raised, getting into wrestling?
So what's, sure.
Let's talk about that. Growing up in Georgia, tell us about that with your brothers.
Well, I was 4 years older than my brother, and my first real love was baseball.
Okay.
And when I was 12 years old, I was almost 13, I got I got very sick. I had a serious kidney infection. And so that was a horrible time in my life. You know, that's when you're growing and getting bigger and stronger.
Yeah.
So I had to go on this very, very strict diet. I was bedridden for 7 weeks. I could only, for like the first 2 weeks, eat two pieces of dry toast and have some water. I mean, really, this is how it went.
Wow.
And I just shriveled up. And so I eventually beat the serious infection I had. It was called nephritis, and I had never heard of it. So the doctor claimed that I was run down. I was playing baseball and softball for two different teams, and a lot of days I'd play two games a day.
Oh, wow.
And then I went on to junior high after that and started playing football, and then I got a cold, and they said it settles in my kidney. So I beat that, but I couldn't run or do any kind of exercise for over a year. And so I tried to play baseball after the time was up, and I was so weak and I couldn't do all the running. And the manager told me, he said, if you can't run like everybody else, you know, I'm going to have to let you go. So he let me go, and my baseball was done. So my sister had married a wrestler, a professional wrestler named Dick Steinborn. And, while I was sick, that's all I did was watch wrestling. Back then we got wrestling out of Chicago from the amphitheater in Chicago. And I'd watch that and watch that. And I said, God, I'd love to do that. You know, and my sister's married to a wrestler, and I got more and more involved when I got in high school. I got on the wrestling team, and I started working out, lifting weights. And so it went from there.
It's interesting because I watched some YouTube videos of you before the podcast here, and you're a big guy. You know, people don't realize because now, you know, everybody's a bodybuilder looking shape and stuff, but your size, I mean, when you go look up at those other wrestlers, you are a big guy.
Yeah, a lot of people, I don't look that big. I didn't look that big on TV. I mean,
no.
I always kept my weight. I tried to keep my weight where I felt I was the most comfortable doing what I was doing.
Yeah.
A lot of people see me in person, God, you're bigger than I thought you were, you know, but I wasn't a monster. You know, I didn't have 21 inch arms or 22 inch arms, but you know, I always try to keep myself in shape.
Right.
Because, you know, that was my thing. I was always in shape, very good cardio. My brother and I, we patented ourselves on, not every night, but a lot of nights we would fast tag.
Mm-hmm.
All night. Fast tag, you know. And you got to have some air getting in and out of that rope, plus what you're doing inside the ring. So,
yeah. You
know, I always prided myself that I was in shape. If I had to wrestle for an hour, no problem.
Yeah.
No.
I noticed that you were always in tip-top shape, and you and your brother both. When you got started, so who trained you to become a professional wrestler?
My brother-in-law, Dick Steinborn.
Dick Steinborn, okay.
I moved from Columbus to Orlando. That's where he and my sister were living, and I know they were home for Christmas. And I told him, I said, I want you to train me to wrestle. He said, really? And I said, yeah. He said, well, how's that going to work? I'm in Orlando, and you're in Columbus. Well, 3 months later, I was in Orlando.
Yeah, wow.
And so it was hard getting into wrestling back then. I had my first match in March of 1970.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard to get in then. You know, it was really protected. It was really guarded.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people thought they wanted to do it. And, you know, everybody just thinks they can do what somebody else does.
Yeah.
So I was down there for about 3 months, 3 or 4 months. And I was going to the gym every day. His dad, who used to be a wrestler also, Milo Steinborn, he owned the gym in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working out. So I finally asked him, I said, hey, I said, when you gonna start training me? You know what his answer was? When I'm ready. And he was ready. So I think I respect that. I look, you know, after I got in the sport, I look back and I think he wanted to see if I really wanted to do it.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't want to, take the time and the effort to train me. Mm-hmm. And then I said, no, I don't want to do this. Cause that, you know, once you start, it's not what you think.
Yeah.
It's not what, and he started me out on mats, not in a ring, on mats.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get body slammed on a mat on a concrete floor. I mean, that's pretty brutal. So that's how I got started. Yeah. And I was blessed to have gotten started in Florida because it was such a wrestling area, you know, and the talent was unbelievable. Jack Briscoe was there. Bob Root was there. He had just come out of the Olympics and the talent was just unbelievable. Ronnie Garvin was there. Jose Lothario was there. Hiro Matsuda was there. Dale Lewis was there. I mean, a lot of guys had been around and, you know, if you went to Florida, you had to produce, and I was lucky to have started in Florida while surrounded by all this great talent. That's the first time I met Murdoch and Rhodes. They had come in from Detroit. They'd been up in the area for the Sheik, and that's the first time I met them, and that's kind of how I got started.
Wow. That's a lot of legends you just named off that you were around.
I mean, a lot of people don't remember or never heard of them. But I mean,
Wahoo
was there. It was just unbelievable because all the wrestlers, especially in the summertime when their kids was out of school, mm-hmm. wanted to go to Florida, you know, vacation for 3 months.
Yeah.
And talent from all over was there. And even in the winter, a lot of them came out up, you know, from the north.
Yeah.
To get out of that cold. So year round, the talent was just, you know, Rene Goulet was there. I mean, I could go on and on who all was there. It was just unbelievable.
It was a hot spot.
It was a hot spot.
And
I was fortunate to have started down there.
Was there anybody, when you were being trained by your brother-in-law, was there anybody in your class that went on like yourself to be a well-known wrestler?
I was the only student.
Oh, you were the one-on-one.
I was one-on-one.
You know,
there weren't wrestling schools back then, you know.
Right.
And I hear of wrestling schools today, and I had a gym here in Columbus for 25 years, and that's when I came off the road full-time in 1979. But I did as much wrestling when I got off the road as I did almost – the time I was full time on the ropes, but in my gym, you know, I was still wrestling. I was on TBS and I was on live TV here in Columbus on Saturdays wrestling. And those guys said, man, I want to do that. And I would tell them, you know, I can teach you to wrestle, but I can't teach you timing. I can't teach you coordination. If you don't have that, you don't have it, whatever it is, you know, either you got it or you don't.
Right.
And I trained some really good guys, and some guys did it for a while and said, this isn't for me, you know.
Right.
There's so much, you just can't tell them everything. The trips, you know. And you're not going to stay here in Columbus, Georgia and wrestle forever. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you know, you got a weekly job here, you know, that it don't work like that.
Yeah.
And it's so much to it. But I wanted to travel. I wanted to go other places. I didn't want to do what everybody else did. I did not want to do what all the people I graduated from school did. They got out of school. A lot of them went to college. A lot of us didn't. I didn't go to college.
Okay.
Some of them stayed in Columbus forever, never went anywhere. I knew that I did not want to do that. I did not want to do it. I wanted to travel.
Yeah.
And the traveling never bothered me, ever.
I was going to bring that up next about your travel experiences from one car to another. I've talked to people that they talk, you know, if they're going from, let's say, Columbus to, I don't know, somewhere in Alabama or something, or maybe South Carolina, and the road trips, they get the knowledge, they get some experience. If they ride with an experienced wrestler, they talk about some of that stuff. Did you ever, I mean, was there any particular time when you were on the road and you had a great experience with somebody or on a trip?
That's interesting. You know, when my brother and I traveled together, you know, we were here in Georgia together.
Mm-hmm.
We were in Alabama together. And really, that's the only places we were, and we were in the Carolinas together. Okay. When we traveled together, just us in the car, all we talked about is what we were going to try to do tonight.
Right.
It may come up, it may not. We want to try some new move, or it was like, and then he started like a couple of years behind me, and my brother-in-law, and I helped my brother-in-law a little bit training, but my brother-in-law, you know, he's the one that really trained him.
Right.
And we wrestled pretty much alike. I was a little bit taller than he was, but my brother, he was super talented. He was super talented and a very good wrestler. And we did well together, but on a trip with just other guys, you know, they talk junk, you know, and, but we talked about what we was doing because, I mean, I can only speak for me, but for the love that I had for it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I made my living.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I never complained about the trips, and I was in some territories that had some long trips.
Yeah.
But I knew that was part of it because early on I would travel with my brother-in-law, you know, when he was here in Georgia, and he wouldn't be here long. Then they go back to Florida, but I said, God, this, you're somewhere different every night. This is unbelievable. You know, it's not like going to work and coming be home at 5, you know.
Yeah.
You might get home at 5 in the morning in some places, but it was interesting. And, but just a lot of road trips, a lot of guys, you know, riding with Dusty and Murdoch and Cox and different ones, Jesse Ventura, Ricky Hunter. Johnny Eagles, in the Carolinas, Abe Jacobs, just guys that, you know, and there were guys, you met guys from all over the world.
Yeah.
New Zealand, Australia, Japan, Germany, France, you know, England. It was just, it was the greatest education that you can't buy that kind of schooling, you know, it's just, you learn it. It's just, but a lot of guys, I know a lot of guys got in the business, stayed a year or two, and they visited for me, you know. Their wives were complaining, we got kids and this. But, you know, military kids, they move around the world.
Yeah.
You know, it's what's normal and natural to you.
Yeah. I was in the military for 26 years. And
there's no need to talk to you about it then.
Yeah, we moved around a lot. But my kids are better for it.
I think they're smarter.
Yep.
They are around different people from different places.
Yep.
You know, I think it's great.
Yep.
I think it's great.
Yeah. I was born and raised in Rice Lake, Wisconsin, and we went on vacation every summer, but, you know, we didn't go anywhere, I mean, too far. And the military was like for you, it was just an eye opener. And it was, you know, I enjoyed it. So I understand that part of it. You bet.
So, I think one of the biggest thrills in my life, I started in 1970. Mm-hmm. And in 1972.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
512 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I went to Japan for the first time. Hadn't even been wrestling 2 years.
Wow.
A little over a year and a half. That was unheard of.
Yeah.
But my brother-in-law got me booked over there, you know.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget the night we landed. I checked into the hotel, put my bags up, and then I went out on the street. And I was walking down the street in Tokyo, Japan. Now, here's a guy from Columbus, Georgia, had all these fantasies and dreams, and I hadn't even been doing this 2 years, and I'm walking down the street in Tokyo, Japan, looking at all the neon signs, the gorgeous buildings, and
yeah,
I couldn't believe it, you know? It was just, that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah. Well, that's an awe moment, right? You're like, in Japan, you think as a kid, you'd never probably go to Japan or something.
I mean, you know, a lot of people save up a lifetime to go on a vacation like that.
Yeah.
I was paid to do it.
Yeah.
I got a round trip ticket before I left. Hotels were paid for, you know, everything was paid for, except for food. We had to buy our own food, of course, but
yeah,
they put you in unbelievable, beautiful hotels, and they took care of all the travel. When you say you ride on the bullet train, you do this, you ride on ships.
Yeah.
You know, it was just, and I went many, many times.
Yeah.
And I miss it today. I'd love to go back one more time.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't been to Japan, but I've been around a few other places, and you know, it's very interesting when you hit a different culture. And
people don't, you know, people don't think about that.
Yeah.
You know, how other people in different parts of the world live, and it's, you know,
yeah.
But Japan, I love that the people were so kind and they were honest and
trustworthy,
and whatever the Japanese officers said they was going to do, that's what they did. You didn't worry about at the end of the tour about your money or nothing, you know, your money was going to be there. You know, we were like movie stars, all, not just me, all wrestlers over there were like movie stars, you know?
Yeah.
When you land, in Japan, the reporters are there, the magazines are there, they're snapping pictures and taking pictures, and, you know, they know when you're coming.
Yeah.
It's a thrill. It really is.
Yeah.
It's not an ego thing. It's just like, well, I didn't know this come with it, you know?
Yeah. Feel like a rock star, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're waiting on you when you come out of the hotels in the morning. You know, the kids are wanting your autograph, and they follow you to eat. And it's just like, I didn't know this was part of it.
Yeah.
But it was a wonderful life to me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's... It sounds like you really enjoyed it. I mean,
I loved every minute of it. And as another day goes by, I don't wish I could do it again.
Yeah. That's good. That's good to know. Yeah.
Well, you know, some guys, they knocked it and this and that. Yeah. Always complaining and moaning about this promoter or that promoter, about this payoff or that payoff. You can leave.
Yeah.
You can quit.
Yeah.
You know, but of course, in my heyday, we made real good money.
Yeah.
But nothing like they make today.
No. No.
You know, it's like Mickey Mantle. The most he ever made was $125,000 a year. They make that a game now.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I was the head of the wheel going and showing up around. But, but that's okay. I don't begrudge any of them.
Yeah.
But, they earn it. They earn it.
No, I say that. You're the 70s, guys in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and even part of the early 90s really paved the way for these wrestlers, female, male and female, of today.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
If you would have made even half of what like a WWE superstar makes today a year, I mean, you would have been the hottest thing going. I mean,
even though the money we made was just unbelievable.
Yeah.
For the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know when I started wrestling in Florida in 1970, you know what gas was? 19 cents a gallon. They had gas wars all the time. When it went to a quarter, everybody's raising sand, you know, but it's the time. It's the place. It's the era.
Things
change. You know, the wrestling that I knew and did and loved and grew up watching, mm-hmm. and then I got to be a part of it.
Yeah.
That don't exist anymore.
Now, I want to talk about that in a little bit too, about your, okay. how you feel about that. But I want to talk about next, if we could. Was there any particular wrestler or team that you ever wrestled that you just had that chemistry with, that it factor? Like, you knew it was just going to go just great and no issues.
I can't believe you asked that question, because if anybody asked me what was the best match I ever had, I like to think I had a lot of good matches. I'm not saying every match I ever had was good. Nobody can say that, you know.
Right.
It takes three in there: yourself, yeah. your opponent, and a referee. But it's not a team thing. You got to do your thing. And I felt like I was gifted enough. I could always take my talents and adjust to whoever I was wrestling. Mm-hmm. You take some wrestling somebody. You knew who Ox Baker was.
Yeah, the heart punch guy. Yeah, I know he was.
Like wrestling the normal guy.
Yeah.
Ox could only do so much.
Yeah.
And he was big. So you have to adjust yourself to his size and his limitations to have a good match, you know, instead of, I felt like I was blessed and I could do that. I would say the best match I ever had, it involved myself and my brother. Mm-hmm. It happened in Kansas City, Kansas. We wrestled Terry and Tommy Martin.
Okay.
They were from Nova Scotia. They promoted up there, up in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And their real names were Cormier. But they wrestled as the Martin brothers. And they had another brother that wrestled in the Carolinas named Rudy Kay. I don't know if you ever heard that name.
I have not, no, but that's okay.
So they booked us together. They were in the territory a little while there, and they put us together
mm-hmm.
in a match in Kansas City. And all the guys were saying, we can't wait to see the four of y'all in there. Cause they were good. I mean, they were excellent.
Yeah.
And so did you know everybody on that card that night stayed and watched that match? That match went one solid hour, tag match.
Wow.
It was the most unbelievable match I've ever been in. Jesse Ventura stayed to watch it. Pat O'Connor watched it. Bob Geigel watched it. Everybody on the card stayed and watched it. And that's unusual for guys to watch other guys wrestle. But they wanted to see what we could do. And then we wrestled them again the next night for another hour in St. Joe, Missouri. An hour in a tag match. I mean, that was the best match I've ever been in.
Wow. That's interesting.
I'm not going to say great matches, but I had a lot of good matches. You know, I wrestled Briscoe. I wrestled Harley. You know, I wrestled a lot of different world champions that not necessarily. I wrestled both of the Funks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I had real good matches with Harley. Had good matches with Jack, you know.
Yeah.
But that match still, and I wish it was on tape. I'd love to see it. It may not be as good as I thought it was.
No, I mean, an hour.
It's
hard to go an hour, even then, to keep the fans' eyes on you guys and not get complacent. And for you guys, because you back then, it wasn't all scripted out like it is now. I mean, back then,
right.
You had
my brother and I, when it came to what we did for a living, wrestling, we never, ever, never, ever had 1 minute's problem. We had trouble, issues outside the ring,
mm-hmm.
you know, family issues,
yeah.
like brothers would, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we always got along, but there was just some things that we just didn't get along with. And
yeah.
But when it came to what we did for making a living, we always got along.
Yeah.
I had some good partners over the years at different places. I was partners with Snooker for a while in Oregon. I was partners with Jesse. I had some different partners. Mike George, I love wrestling with Mike.
Yep.
But, you know, we were trained by the same guy. We were brothers, and we just clicked together, especially in the Carolinas. In the Carolinas, that used to be a tag team territory, Carolinas. And so I was in Oregon. I think I'm getting off the path here, but I was in Oregon and, my brother called me and said, you want to come to Charlotte? I said, George Scott wants you to come to Charlotte. I said, God, I've only been out here 6 months. You know, I went all the way across the country.
Yeah.
As far as you can go. I said, I don't know. Let me think about it. So, he wants us here. He's going to team us up. And so I told him and I started in 3 weeks, but we always got along. I mean, if we was in, let's say, 5 tag matches in 1 week, and I took the fall in 5 of them, he didn't get mad.
Yeah.
You know, I had an opportunity to take that fall or that match, you know, or he could do it. We didn't care.
Yeah.
As long as we did what we were supposed to do.
Yeah.
And do our best.
Yeah.
There was never any jealousy in the ring at all. Yeah. Never. Well, you know, some guys don't get along, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Or you stayed in the ring too long, or you trying to hog the thing. None of that. None of that.
You hear a lot of teams that, you know, not a lot, I shouldn't say that, a few teams, in the ring they're great, but outside the ring they can't stand each other. As soon as they walk off the apron and go back in the back.
The Scott brothers were like that, George and Sandy. They wouldn't even ride together. Back in the day.
Yeah. But,
and the reason I didn't like being committed as a tag team wrestler, because there was an issue with my brother and I one time about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it cost us a lot of money.
Mm.
If we're committed as a tag team and one decides to leave, well, that puts you in a, whether it's me or you and I are partners for years, and all of a sudden I say, hey, Brian, I'm out of here. What? What do you mean you're out of here? Now you're in a spot. Just you, or I'd be in a spot if you left me, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we really want to tag team that people like or hate or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you're depending on another person.
Yeah.
And I never like depending on anybody like that.
Yeah.
You know? So I know when I was in Louisiana, I mean, it was just tag matches, but I was a single wrestler out there, and I loved it. And I did a lot of single wrestling in Kansas City. A lot of it was tag team, of course. But,
yeah.
But, you know, you're going to get caught up in that no matter who you are or what territory you went to back in the day.
Yeah.
But I preferred, if I didn't wrestle as a tag team with my brother, I'd rather be totally single.
Yeah.
That's just me.
That's okay. I want to talk about you guys, you and your brothers, Mr. High, Mr. Low. Where did that come from?
Well, we stole it.
That's okay.
When my brother-in-law, we wasn't even in wrestling. This was in like 61 or 2. They were in Minneapolis together.
Okay.
And they went as Mr. High and Mr. Low. Doug would sit on the top rope, and Dickie would sit on the second rope.
Ah.
And we'd get programs. My sister would send programs home that with pictures with it. She said, God, that's cool, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I told my brother, I said, we're going to do that. He said, why? I said, well, I'm taller than you. And I'll sit on the top or something. He didn't think that was funny, but we got that from them.
It worked. I mean, I was watching. I was like, Mr. High and Mr. Low, and there you two are in the corner. You're up on the top row, turnbuckle, and he's on the lower or middle one. I don't remember now, but it was pretty neat. Yeah, that was interesting. I was like, I'll have to ask him about that.
Yeah, we stole that.
Well, that's okay. Let me ask you this. I know you worked mainly in the NWA. Did you ever work in New York, WWE, or up in Minneapolis,
Never.
AWA?
No, I had a chance to go. I had a chance to go in 19, when was it, 85?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little later. I was Pat Patterson called me.
Okay.
And he said, I talked to Jesse Ventura because he was up there. I said, "Hey, Jesse, I'd like to come to New York." He said, "Man, you don't want to come up here." we were there when he started in Kansas City. You know, he came in from Minneapolis, green as grass. And we took him under our wing. He traveled with us. And, you know, he didn't have any money, and we didn't even charge him trans. And we just took a liking to him, you know. And so he said, "Man, you don't want to come up here." I said, "Yeah, I'd like to come up here for a while." Now I've got my gym. You know, I had my gym here in Columbus. And, so he said, "All right, I'll talk to him." So about 2 weeks later, Pat Patterson called me on Friday. And he said, "Hey, this is Jerry." I said, "Yeah, I'd met Pat once before. Mm-hmm. I said, "Yeah." He said, "This is Pat Patterson." I said, "Hey, Pat, how you doing?" He said, "I understand you want to come up here." I said, "Yeah, I'd like to come up there, you know. I really would." He said, "I got you booked in Detroit tonight." This is like 11 o'clock in the morning on a Friday. I said, "Tonight?" "Yeah." And he said, "I got your bookings from there on. You already had me a booking sheet and everything." I said, "Oh, my God." I said, "Pat, I want to come, but I cannot come today." I said, "I've got I put on a bodybuilding show every year, you know, and it takes months to put that together every year." Mm-hmm. I said, "I got a bodybuilding show next week." And they said, "There's no way I can come up and be gone 4 or 5 days straight." He said, "Well," he said, I'll call you, you know." I said, "Listen, don't forget me," but I never heard back. And I didn't call, you know.
Yeah.
But I was still doing a lot of wrestling around here. I was still going back and forth to Kansas City.
Yeah.
I was going to Florida some. I was going to, I went to Dallas some. I was going to Detroit some for the Sheik. So, and I was wrestling around here. So I was staying busy.
Yeah.
You know, but I couldn't be gone no 4 or 5 weeks at a time, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't want to anymore, you know.
Yeah.
And I look back and I'm glad I didn't, you know. Because a lot of stuff happened to those guys, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. So.
Yeah.
It worked out good, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not crying over spilt milk. That was my decision not to go.
Yeah.
And I didn't pursue it after that week was up. And so I'm content. And I was still going to Japan, you know. So I was doing good. I was doing good.
Yeah. How about big card events? Were you in anything? I know, like, Texas, they had that David Von Erich Memorial Parade and Champions. Did you ever involve in any of that kind of stuff or no?
No, I wrestled for Fritz, but I wasn't going to do too much for Fritz after I left there.
Okay.
I got a raw deal there, so.
Okay.
Man.
All right. I do remember, though, when you and Ronnie Garvin beat the Road Warriors.
Right here in Columbus.
And that was for those national tag team titles. And what was that? I've heard those guys were pretty, you know, as far as stiff and rugged. Were they good guys?
Well, they were pretty green, you know.
Yeah.
Jake Roberts was doing the booking, and he called me. He said, "Where are you wrestling?" I said, "Just here and there." He said, "You want to wrestle again pretty regular around here?" "Well, I'm home." "Heck yeah, you know."
Yeah.
I said, "Yeah." He said, "All right, in 2 weeks," he said, "you go be in Columbus. I'm going to put you in Columbus." I said, "Okay. In my hometown right here."
Yeah.
So I'm watching TV, and it said Ronnie Garvin and Jerry Elsa will face the Road Warriors on Wednesday night. The Road Warriors. I really wasn't watching them, watching wrestling too much.
Yeah.
So I had never seen them.
Mm-hmm.
So we get down there to the auditorium, and it's a heck of a house. I mean, And so we get in the ring. Garvin said, "You ever seen them?" I said, "No." He said, "You in for a treat." They come out of that dressing room. I'm like, "Good gosh almighty!" You know, they were huge.
Yeah,
and we beat them. And then they booked a return the next week. Well, anybody and everybody that worked out in my gym was down there. "We coming down there to watch y'all get stomped." The place was packed.
Yeah.
Packed. And we beat those Road Warriors. That place come unglued. They went crazy. But they were green.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't have any problem with them, you know.
Good. Yeah. I mean, I've,
So there again, you have to adjust yourself
yeah.
to these big, strong, powerful guys yeah. that are green as grass that could get you upside down and walk out from under you, you know, and
yeah.
only God in heaven knows what would happen to you. So, I mean, I was taught to, if I'm wrestling you, I'm going to protect you. I'm not going to drop you on your head, you right. know, straight down and paralyze you. Or
right.
I'm not going to say I never busted anybody's lip or nothing like that, but
right.
to just be reckless and careless,
yeah.
that wasn't me.
Yeah.
But then when you know you're in there with somebody like that and they are green, then you protect yourself.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to get in that position. I don't care how strong you are. I'm not getting in that position.
Yeah. I don't blame you. I mean, you wrestled for 35, you know, you were in the business for 35 years. And
well, I started in 70 and had my last match in 2010. I wrestled in 5 decades.
Oh, well, there you go. See?
I wanted to do, when I wrestled in 2010, I'm thinking, you know, I was 62. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, I got to do this, you know, mm-hmm. I got to do it. So they put a match together with my brother and I, and my son was involved in the match.
Yeah.
It was what, 50 years later, I started in 70, I figured it was 5 decades, and it was in March, and I started in 70 of March, and I had my last match, 2010, in March.
In March, wow.
But my knees already shot. I'd already had 5 knee surgeries, and 2 years after that match, in 2012, I had both of them replaced.
Oh, wow.
And then I had my shoulder replaced a little over 2 years ago. So, but
it's a rough business. I know that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's the wear and tear, and yep. You know, when you're out there, you're 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, you think you're bulletproof, but it's the accumulation mm-hmm. of doing it night after night after night after night after night. You know, you're wearing those joints out, and mm-hmm. but I do it again.
Yeah. That's good. That's good.
I would do it again.
Let's talk about Marty Jannetty. Did you train him? Is that how I understand?
Yes, I trained him.
Is there? Are you still in contact with him? Do you talk to him? Or?
No, I don't talk to him.
Okay.
Not anymore.
Okay.
He hounded me to death. Now, he was a fantastic amateur wrestler here in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he beat everybody all over the state. He was fantastic.
Yeah.
Wasn't the biggest guy, but he could wrestle. You know, he could take care of himself. And
yeah.
He wanted me to train him. So I trained him and, I don't know, 3 or 4 others at a time, mm-hmm. at the time. And and I know every night when we'd close the gym, he would hound me. Let's go back there and work out. Marty, I've been in this gym for 12 hours today, man. I want to go home. Come on, just come back in to show me how to get in this hole and get out of it, blah, 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 blah. You know, I mean, he really wanted to do it. And then the rest is history. I mean, he made so much money up there. I mean, but.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know all of it, but I know the first night that him and Shawn Michaels were in New York, they got fired. You know, they trash hotels and just, you know, party, yeah. party, party, party. And,
yeah.
you know, they didn't look at it as a business.
Yeah.
You know, this is the way you make your living. This is the way these men that promote you and invest money in you and having you on TV, and it's a business.
Yeah.
They took it as high school.
Yeah.
But it's not, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah, he was talented. He was talented.
Yeah.
And I hated to see him mess his career up.
Yeah.
I'll just kind of leave it at that.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally understand. Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed him when I was a kid, when he was in the AWA out of Minneapolis, him and
yeah.
The Rockers.
They did well up there.
Yeah. They did the Midnight Rockers. They were on fire. Went to New York.
Him and Sean did good in New York, but,
yeah. you
know, there was, I know, animosity on whose part or jealousy on whose part or.
Yeah.
You know, he would tell me some things and then go in one ear out there, the other, because, you know,
yeah.
This is your time. You know, I had my time.
Right.
But I always try to, no matter what situation I was put in, no matter where I was wrestling, there's a boss. There's a boss.
Yep.
And as long as you do what you're asked to do, be on time, don't be late, don't show up drunk.
Yeah.
You know, now it's, don't be snorting stuff before you show up now, but
yeah.
Or shooting up stuff now, but
yeah.
Whatever, you know, but, that's how I made my living and I wasn't gonna mess that up.
Yeah.
Because I love what I was doing to begin with. You know, I don't know if guys get in, it's a game to them or, you know, there's a lot of perks that go with being in that business. Mm-hmm. You know, it just is. I mean, that's just the way it is. You're on TV and you're this and that. And,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But you don't abuse that. I mean, I never did.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people that, they get, I guess lost or over, I don't know how you say it, overwhelmed.
I guess.
By it. Well, if you're, you know, some people just don't have the, I don't want to say maturity, but I guess maturity.
Well, that's what it is. And you know, and our thing was a lot of guys, I don't care whether you are a race car driver or a football player or a professional wrestler or a boxer or a hockey player.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got a lot of publicity back then, you know.
Yep.
And you start believing your own publicity, you're in trouble.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
A good point.
Oh, I'm this, I'm that. Yeah. Well, to them you are, to us you're not. You know, it's just that simple.
Oh. Yeah. All right. A couple more questions. One: were you ever a heel? Because I've watched a bunch of matches with you, and I always see you shaking their hand or trying to shake their hand. Or I've never seen you, at least on the videos I saw, be a heel.
Maybe a match or two, you know, if I went in somewhere.
Yeah.
But I didn't. When I was in Louisiana, I tried to get Watts to switch me, Bill Watts. He said, "You're crazy." that really wasn't me.
Yeah.
That wasn't me, you know.
Okay.
And I don't know if I'd have been comfortable with that.
I think being a heel, yeah.
Now my brother would. And in fact, I wrestled him. I don't know if you ever saw that match with me, my brother, and it was me and Jerry Lawler. And Tommy Rich against my brother and Rip Rogers and Bob Root. We wrestled two Saturdays on TBS.
Oh, wow.
Six-man tag.
Yeah. Wow.
But he was good. He was better at that than me. That never really interests me. You know, I asked Watts to do it because I'd been there a year and I said, and I wanted to keep staying. I said, you know.
Yeah.
But it never happened.
Yeah. I think it would. I don't know. It might have worked out because sometimes
when it could have.
You look like the all American guy, and you turn. It could have benefited. Yeah. I don't know. You'll never. I guess we'll never know, right?
We'll never. Not now. We won't.
All right. Do you watch wrestling at all today, or sometimes?
I do not.
Okay, so I won't ask you the question. Okay, so let's ask you this: what are you doing now?
Right now, I'm not doing anything. Just piddling. I came home. I lived in Savannah for 10 years. I've been back in Columbus probably a year and a half.
Okay.
I was there for 10 years. And so I moved back home. I wanted to come back home. And somebody offered me a deal to do with the gym, and I wanted to come home, and I stayed up there about, I don't know, close to a year, but it wasn't what it was told to me, you know.
Gotcha.
So I just, I wasn't going to have my name kind of attached to something that, because I had, and I'm not bragging and not an ego, but I had a good name here.
Yeah.
Because of my wrestling.
Yeah.
And for my gym for 25 years. I mean, we had every walk of life work out in our gym. Doctors, lawyers, surgeons, plastic surgeons, judges, everybody. I mean, if you worked out, you worked out at Oaks Gym, you know.
Yeah.
And my name means a lot to me, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And that's all I have is my name. And so I wasn't going to let it be, you know, misused.
Yeah.
So, but I have plans, you know, You know, I've always had to have something to look forward to, and I have something else to look forward to. And
well,
I've met my lady friend. She's she's the love of my life.
That's great. That's great. I just celebrated my 18th wedding anniversary yesterday. Well, it was actually yesterday. So we went.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So I'm truly blessed. I know I am. Yeah, so I understand the lady.
You're blessed. I know what that's about.
I want to tell you one more thing before we get off here. I want to tell you that, in my opinion, you are probably one of the most underrated and under-recognized wrestlers from your era. And I'm not saying that because you're on here. I'm saying that because you hear a lot about, like you said, you know a lot of guys, Jesse Ventura, Jack Briscoe, the Funks. You were in that group that paved the way for these wrestlers today. And I, in my opinion, I don't think you get the recognition that you deserve. And I want to tell you that I appreciate what you have done for the business, because I watch your matches and I think, you know, this guy and your brother, as a team, even when you're an individual, when you're a North American heavyweight champion, you always put in that 100%. You never appeared to be half into it. You're, like you said, you worked and you did the job. And I'm telling you, for me and probably wrestling fans from my generation that are in my age group, appreciate you. So I want to tell you that from me.
Well, that's probably the biggest compliment I've ever gotten.
It's the truth. And I want to tell you that. And, you know, what you've done for this business, you've tied with a lot of different people, wrestled all over the world. And I don't think you get the recognition you deserve. And I'm glad you came on here tonight for this. Some people have asked before, want money. I can't do that. I'm not Joe Rogan. I don't have my millions of dollars Spotify deal. Nothing against Joe Rogan. He's a great podcaster, but I'm not at that level. I can't pay a guy X amount of dollars or a woman X amount of dollars to be on here because I'm just not that level.
To me, it's a honor for what I did. For you to have me, you know.
Yeah, no, I greatly appreciate it. On that, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. High, Jerry Oates, thank you so much for coming on, sir. I really appreciate it. I know the fans
will appreciate it. If we want me on again, just let me know.
I will. And folks, if you're listening or watching, thank you and subscribe to this podcast. We really appreciate it, and we will talk to you soon. Have a good evening.
Hey, this is a Total Package of Lex Luger, and you're listening to the VOC Nation. Don't miss out.
Since 2018, there's only been one program that brings you artists from around the world, both big and small, brings you the best in local talent, and hosts live events. Rock and Roll Union is all of that and more. With C.T. McManus, the lovely D, and new co-host Psycho Steve Prescott, you're sure to get everything you need. So tune in Mondays at 6 p.m. for your one-stop shop for all things rock and roll. Rock and Roll Union, music worth fighting for.
check out In the Room.
Every Tuesday night at 9, listen in.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks, former WCW star Stro Maestro, Kazzy Fist, Matt Grimm.
And you and Ray are there too, right, Ray?
We sure are, and we've got great guests like Lex Luger, AJ Styles, Taku, and more. It's a heck of a party. Plus,
I didn't get thrown off buildings.
And then
I didn't get pregnant either.
Sometimes I think it gets so ridiculous.
We were getting into like snuff film territory there.
In the Room.
9 p.m. Eastern on VOC Nation.
Wrestling with History, the voice of choice, and Killer Ken Resnick.
When I die, they're going to open me up and find about 2,000 undigested Northwest Airline cheese omelets.
Mr. Chris Cruz, what's going on?
Jesus, how did I get roped into this?
General Adnan went to school with Saddam Hussein.
He cried, I cried, he cried, and who could have
cried? Adnan lost a lot of family in the Iraqi war.
Everybody loves Granny.
Wow. Yeah, see, a lot of people don't know that.
Yes, Dylan, you guys are busting me up.
Catch Wrestling with History with Ken Resnick and I live on VOCNation.com or listen to the podcast by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app.
Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro. Talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out. VOCNation.com. WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Yo, this is Jerry Stiles of the Nasty Boys. Yeah, Brian Knobs here. You getting ready to get nasty? Well, listen to the VOC Nation, baby, because it's about to get nasty all around and up in this mother. Get ready. Nasty Sensation is coming at you.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.